here, Parshas Nusa, 7, Parshas 13. And they all brought the same series of gifts. And Rashi gives the reasons for their gifts. Obviously, Rashi's quoting Chazal, but even as these reasons are being suggested, it's understood these are one reference for what they did. So they brought Ka'aros Kesef. They brought silver vessels. Silver bowl. Okay, it's a silver utensil. So Rashi says that the numerical value of Ka'aros Kesef comes out to be 930, which correspond to the years of Adam. That's how long Adam lived. 930 years. The weight was 130, but the Ka'aros Kesef, just the letters of the words, silver bowl, that equals 930. Then the weight was 130, and that was when Adam first began, so to speak, history, because Havel had been killed and Cain was banished, so the children that are enumerated in the beginning of the Bereshis, when it begins to give you the history of mankind, so it tells you about Adam, and Adam had a son, Chase, and Chase was born when Adam was 130 years old. So they purposely, intentionally brought a vessel that would have this particular weight to it, so as to create a reference for Adam. He was not intimate with Chava for 130 years. Okay, then Mizrak Echad Kesef, that there was one Mizrak. A Mizrak was a little thing that they used to throw the blood at the Mizbeh. Silver base. A Mizrak was something that they used to catch the blood of the sacrifice, and then they would throw it. The reason it's called the Mizrak is coming from the word Zarak, to throw. So it was, they used to use it to throw the blood against the Mizbeh. So that is
520,
and that corresponds to the years of Noach. When Noach was 500 years old when he gave birth, and then there were the 20 years before he had turned 500 that the decree was passed against this generation. So they had 120 years to do tshuva from the time that Noach was 480 years old to the time he was 600. They had 120 years to do tshuva. So that's the 520. Then he goes on to say that weighed 70 shekel. That corresponds to the 70 nations that emerged from Noach after the flood. Then there was kaf achas. There was this one, kaf would be a spoon, maybe
ladle.
Right, one ladle. That corresponds to the Torah, which was given from the kaf, from the hand of Hashem, was given from the... A kaf is a spoon, or a ladle, and it's also kaf is a palm. So that kaf achas, I mean, the Torah came from the palm of Hashem. It was made out of gold. It weighed as much as 10 shekels. That corresponds to the Ten Commandments. Malaya Ketores, and it was full of Ketores, of this incense. And Ketores is the numerical value. Ketores is interchange the kuf with a dalet. And Rashi says that that's done with Atbash. Atbash is if you write in the Hebrew alphabet in one direction, then turn around and write it in the other direction. In other words, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and then the last letter is Tav. If you, underneath that, you were to write under the Tav an Aleph and go this way, so then under this Aleph there would be a Tav, and under this Tav there would be an Aleph. Right? Under the Beis, over here, there would be a shin, and then the shin there'd be a base. It's just, you know, it's exactly the exact opposite direction, and those letters are interchangeable. The olive is interchangeable with, for the purpose of gematria, olive is interchangeable with the tuf, and the base is interchangeable with the shin, and the gimels are interchangeable with the resh, and so on. So you interchange the kuf of Ketores with the letter underneath it, which is a dalet, so that comes out to 613. All right, anyway, Rashi gives that there was some corresponding. Everything that they did had a meaning, had a point of reference.
And then it was repeated exactly like this?
Everybody did the same thing. Really, should have said the Torah would be following its conventional insistence on being very concise, terse, this thing that I just said, and each one brought this. Finished. So he repeats it all these times. So there are several lessons here. Lesson number one is, and we've spoken about this before, that even though that we're all called upon to do the same mitzvahs, in the sight of God, no two mitzvahs are alike, because even though the outward trappings of the mitzvah are identical, but the mitzvah is defined not only by its external, but by its internal content, and its internal content is our mindfulness, our passion, our yearning, our trembling, our resolve, our remorse. All those things go into a mitzvah that we do. So even if you're in a room with 20,000 people who are putting on film, because the Almighty is infinitely wise and infinitely aware, the Rebbein Shlom looks at all of these mitzvahs, and there are no two mitzvahs that are alike. External of them is alike, but they are defined at least as much by what's internal, and in fact the effect of the mitzvah corresponds very profoundly to it, what comes from within. So you can't have the within without the vessel, but the vessel is empty unless you fill it with awareness, unless you fill it with focus, with concentration, with passion. So every mitzvah is different. When I put on film, what am I thinking about? So one of the things that the Torah is telling us over here is, if the Torah would have said, here is what they brought, and all 12 of them brought the same thing, so it would give the impression that each one of their gifts was identical. And they really weren't. They were 12 individual, unique gifts, because everybody, each prince brought not only his own personal uniqueness and his own personal passion and yearning to the mitzvah, but he also brought, and it represented the tribe. Every tribe had a different attribute, but a different personality. That's one lesson. The one lesson is that the Torah repeats it 12 times because each one of them was different. That they wanted you to know that each one of them was different, even though they looked the same. Well, one of the things that Rashi is trying to tell us, it's not clear, by the way, were they all inspired? In other words, no one of them had to really bring the same thing, but they were all inspired to bring the same things and then to invest them differently, or did they collaborate on what they were going to bring with the understanding that each one of them would invest in? That's not clear, but they ended up bringing the same thing. Whether they collaborated on it, they ended up bringing the same thing. Having said that, and recognizing that each thing is different, one of the things that I think Rashi, in quoting the Chazal about the different thing that this refers to, is telling us something about understanding that when we come to dedicate something, whether it's in our personal lives or as a community or as a nation, we come to dedicate something and to declare it from this point forward an instrument or an approach, a modality, a vehicle for sanctity, that we do this with the fullness of our being. And the fullness of our being is not only who we are at that moment, but who we are from the moment we were born, who we are given the influences of the context into which we were born, who we are as a result of history. In other words, that we dedicate something, we make something holy with, not as a somehow a wedge in history, but as a aggregate, as someone who recognizes that they bring the gifts of their triumphs in history and the gifts of their failures. So they created a gift, something that was going to make the Mishkan and the Mizbeach. They were dedicating the Mishkan and the Mizbeach. So what they did was to start from the beginning. I'm here dedicating it. I'm a product of Adam. I'm a product of an Adam who lived for 930 years because he ate of the tree. And because he gave 70 years away to the future. I'm a product of Adam who waited 130 years before he was able to somehow regain the courage to look at or to trust the fact that the world was worth populating. I mean, he had this terrible, say it was a disappointment, you know, it shattered his world, and what's the point of bringing kids into a world where they're going to, deal with each other in jealousy and violence. And so it took him 130 years before he was able to somehow regain his focus. So what does that mean? When we come as a nation to sanctify something which is going to carry us to a better place, are we not obligated to know, to remember history? Are we not obligated to try to think about what kind of resources Adam needed in order to be able to dedicate himself once again to, or rededicate himself to a world that he himself had destroyed, and that is, and his children had destroyed? When we dedicate something which is new in our lives, or new in the lives of Klal Yisrael, do we do it without thinking about the flood, the destruction of the world, what brought down the world, how Noah rebuilt the world, the Tower of Babel, the dispersion of the 70 nations, the 70 languages? In addition to the fact that they're telling us that each person over here, and each tribe, was distinct or distinctive, the Torah is also telling us that each one brought their own synthesis of history. Each one dedicated this sanctuary with the fullness of their being, and the fullness of their being was, I'm investing this act, and I'm dedicating this Mishkan, and not only with my yearning and my passion, and not only with my commitment to the future, but also with the gifts that the past has given me, the lessons that the past has given me, some sense of awareness of what kind of a world once existed that we're trying to reclaim. And I think it's an important lesson, because one of the things that would be true of anybody who does tshuva, but certainly today of people who do tshuva when they're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, or people who, we have all these group of people who've converted to Judaism late in their life. You know, this is not, even though it is a break, obviously, because it's completely opening up a completely new life. The Baal Tshuva, in a certain sense, is kind of turning around and facing a completely different world. Or the Ger is turning around and facing a completely different world. But does this mean that the past is wasted? Does this mean that, do we not have an obligation to look back at our past and somehow integrate some of the things that we know, that we've learned, strength that we've gained? If the past hasn't taught us anything, we're beginning now without respecting the fact that, that there are lessons that we've learned, and there are things that we've come to understand about ourselves, about our strengths and our weaknesses. We dedicate the present not only with all the resolve for the future, but with all of the information and the inspiration of the past. I think that's one of the things that Rashi is trying to clue us into. Is, here you had such an important event. It was the beginning of a new era in history. There's a Mishkan. Never was such a thing before. Mishkan. Mishkan. Hashem is going to bring his presence to rest amongst people. We're dedicating it. We're inaugurating it. It's important for us to know that you inaugurate it not only with the present, but you inaugurate it with everything that we've learned from the past. And if we haven't learned from the past, then, as somebody said, then we will be condemned to relive it.